Hello and welcome to the Lifetime Athlete Podcast. You're here with your hosts, John Zombro and PK. This is episode number 84 with the title, Are You Fit and Healthy? So again, listeners, welcome. Thanks for being with us today. And of course, as always, hello, PK.
Good morning, John. Lifetime Athlete, episode 84, but episode number one under the new umbrella and the new terminology. I like it.
Yeah, I should have probably said, hey, formerly the Lifetime Body, now the Lifetime Athlete.
And dynamite.
Have some sound effects when that happens. But as folks, I think you know, if you're a follower, and we do appreciate that, this is the show where we help you to embrace your inner athlete and achieve peak performance at any, and dare I say, every age. And we do that without compromising health or sacrificing longevity. Now, that's quite the mission, and it's not without controversy. There's arguments out there, but when you apply our principles, it can be done. In fact, being fit and healthy is getting the best of both worlds in life.
Yes, indeed.
And of course, when you want to get the best of both worlds in life, that's a Van Halen opportunity.
Yeah, it is, John. I would never throw the brakes on that opportunity.
Okay. I want the best of both worlds. And honey, I know what it's worth. If we could have the best of both worlds, we'd have heaven right here on earth. Woo!
John, I am inspired. That was amazing. Anytime you can bring Van Halen into my world, I love it.
Yeah, rock and roll, health and fitness, edutainment. And that's where we're going today. We're going to look at the best of both worlds with health and fitness in this discussion. So guys, I think you're going to find this information extremely interesting and also friggin' valuable.
And I think, John, the reason why we're talking or asking the question or framing today's episode is, are you fit and healthy? I think the assumption would be that if you're fit, you're healthy, and if you're healthy, you're fit. And that's, I think, where you're going to sort of break down those preconceptions that we may have.
Yeah, and on one level, a certain amount of health probably means there's a very small baseline of fitness, and a certain baseline of fitness probably contributes to health. I mean, we know that, but in reality, these things are separate, and getting them to coexist at high levels equally, that's our great challenge, and certainly that's the topic of today's discussion. And so my first thing to look at would be an example of anyone who is healthy, relatively healthy, but not fit.
Lay it on me. Let's talk about it.
So here's a person who's doing okay, I'm holding up my air quotes, but mm-hmm. doesn't train, doesn't engage in, you know, the vigorous life. And so that's a person who, you know, they go in for a checkup, let's say, and certainly there's the absence of illness or disease. Their blood markers are relatively good. They have reasonable body composition. Their blood pressure is within the normal range, you know, and so forth and so on. So that person gets labeled as healthy, and rightfully so. But this person's not very active and probably borders on sedentary, again, for our hypothetical example. So mm-hmm. So now we have an individual who's, you know, again, relatively healthy, but lacks the conditioning to play with the kids or the grandkids. Like my grandmother, you know, at age 70, who was climbing trees in the backyard, shout out to Ella, you know, can't do yard work. You know, if you go to the store and you buy some mulch, you know, you can't get it into your vehicle and so forth, so on. Would be up a manure creek with no paddle if the car broke down in a remote area with no cell service. Now, we do have that in Montana. There's some places where people don't even think that exists anymore, but it does. And if a long hike was required to get to safety or whatever, person couldn't do it because they lacked conditioning. Well, this is a life less fulfilling, and we need to help. We need to get this person onto a peak performance path.
Well, John, this makes sense. Actually, I feel like in the world, I feel like this person who's healthy but not fit, I guess what I mean to say is this seems like something that people admit. Well, you know, I'm pretty healthy, but I'm out of shape. Is this, you know, something that I don't see a lot of internal conflict in terms of how they see themselves?
Yeah, it's very common, but it's a bit of a ticking time bomb, you know, shall I say, because, you know, our norms for health, you know, the criteria, like the person says, I'm healthy, they don't emphasize fitness enough. And so there's that requisite amount of fitness that needs to go along with health. And then, of course, if we want to be, you know, peak performers, high achievers, you know, have that total life satisfaction and best chances for success everywhere, well, we need to be lifetime athletes as our genes demand. And so those lifetime athletes now, you know, at a different level are versatile, durable human beasts, and they're hard to kill.
Yeah. I see, so in one respect, healthy but not fit is, it's a great place to start. You know, you're not in the hole, but your physical capabilities, you're somewhat limited both in an emergency, as you described, or even for some of the more vigorous everyday undertakings.
Yeah, and what happens is that fitness and the pursuit of it, and again, the athleticism really starts to become important as we get older, because that's when the bone density starts to go down, the cardiovascular function, the, you know, muscle loss, the age-related sarcopenia. So if we stay athletic, we don't lose those critical health and life determinants. But if we don't, they drop off rapidly when you graph it.
Interesting. So we're going to go ahead. I'm sure we're going to talk about the best of both worlds coming up, but let's flip that coin. Let's talk about someone who's fit, but not so healthy.
Yeah. So, you know, if we springboard a little bit and say, well, okay, we had that person who was healthy and not fit. And I'm presenting that as a concern. And, you know, sure. And also I wanted to say that, you know, I don't want anybody to feel ashamed or intimidated. There's a way to find a path and a motivation to want to kick ass. And so that, again, that's where we're coming from, folks. So don't feel like we're condemning you. If you're not fit now, you can be. But really, the other side of it, we see this, I mean, it's everywhere, but in Bozeman, Montana, we see this a lot. And that's the common presentation of a fit but not so healthy individual. And you know, I mean, we're laughing, but, you know, the Western B towns, you know, is it Bozeman, Bend, Berkeley, Boulder, you know, okay, whatever, you know, they're really known for, you know, their fitness culture, and that's extremely prevalent. But here we have a lot of people who have high work capacities and measurable performance metrics, and they exhibit any or all of the following. They regularly participate in exercise training. So they're maintaining athleticism. They're doing well there. They score higher than the norm in various tests of physical capacity. So whether that's strength or mobility or aerobic fitness, you know, they'll do that. And then generally they'll have a better body composition. So more lean body mass, less body fat than the gen pop.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good part. Now for the bad part, for the person again, who is fit, but isn't so healthy, you know, maybe that it's because they're not understanding how to balance training and recovery and inflammation. And, you know, maybe they've got some, you know, exercise addictions and things in there that they need to manage. But anyway, we'll see that individual often has fairly low energy and limited life participation outside of sports and training.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
They're often plagued with chronic fatigue, aches and pains, elevated inflammation markers on a blood test. So again, these are objective things where, you know, they'll have all these good things like their heart rate, resting heart rate, or their blood pressure, or again, or those fitness markers. But then when they go have their blood work done, gosh, you know, you've got a lot of inflammatory markers are elevated or other things. Again, that's something we see. And then also there's often a poor life balance because so much of that energy is put into, you know, training and participation that it may adversely affect the amount of energy that's left for work or family or relationships. So sometimes a person who looks fit or is fit, maybe looks somewhat healthy, but we don't, you know all that. They may actually be very unbalanced in other ways.
Mm-hmm. So in contrast to what I said about the healthy but not fit individual, the fit but perhaps not so healthy, this seems like a person who may disagree with that statement. If you're having this conversation, it seems like there may be less self-awareness for this particular mix of the healthy and fit.
I think that's very true. And you know, again, that's a conversation I've had to have with a lot of people. And so, you know, it could be any number of things. Like, look, if you're performing relatively high, maybe not quite getting what you need because it could be better and we could also restore health, but you know, you've got these physical capacities, but hey, you also have a lot of joint aches, chronic muscular injuries. You have sleep disturbances, gut problems, you know, skin rashes, any of these things. Well, that's actually a sign that health's not right. And so we can be high performing temporarily. Again, all these things are tenuous, right? Before it all comes crashing down. Because if you push that body long enough, eventually it says F you.
Excellent. Yeah. That, John, I mean, this seems like, because it's sort of an active or a proactive approach where, you know, there is fitness coming as a result of training or dedication, that maybe it's just harder to see the healthy side of things because it is someone making an active choice to send it on the fitness side of things.
Yeah. And there's a warrior ethos that we want to interpret appropriately, you know, that has great value in some capacities, but we also, you know, we have to watch out for the grind and, you know, pushing or investing to degrees that may compromise health or life balance. And so that, I think it's much more, I see it much more commonly than I used to, or maybe I wasn't aware of it as much as I have become over the last decade or so. But I think we have a real problem with a lot of people out there who are relatively fit, really chasing fitness, but compromising health in the process.
Mm. And some of the things that you described just now, chronic fatigue, inflammation, low energy, those are sort of subtle. They're almost ghosty. Those could be happening and you could just kind of get used to, obviously, chronic fatigue. That's something that could creep in and you could just say, well, this is what it's like in the absence of not having it there. So interesting. Okay, so let's keep it moving here. What about the worst case scenario when you look at a combination of health and fitness in a person?
I thought,
sorry. That sounded awful. Again, no judgment. We're just talking objectively. What happens when someone's not healthy and they're also not thinking about their fitness?
So I thought you were going to sing that like Sammy Hagar, and you'd be like, you know, what if we could have the worst of both worlds? Well, he wouldn't sing that, but you know, okay. So the first point to try to make is that both of the prior examples, although they're very common, they represent temporary states, as they're describing people who are headed towards the cliff or the edge of a potential collapse. Mm-hmm. And how I, you know, I'm trying to paint that picture today. I don't know if I'm on my best or not, but eventually inattention to fitness will bite health in the ass. And, you know, that's, we talked about that because again, it's that fitness that actually maintains a lot of the, you know, functional capacities and tissue health in the body as particularly as we get older. So, you know, you can take your youthful health, but if you don't add some training and fitness to it, it's not going to last as long. No argument there. And then the other side of that, the pursuit of fitness with disregard for health or being oblivious will now kick the ass of the pursuee. So lack of fitness bites health in the ass, and then disregard for health kicks the ass of the fitness pursuee.
There's a lot of taking and the kicking in that language there. I would say, and I agree with you, and I thank you for illuminating that, it's just, where are you at? Some sort of like, this is an objective framework to say, where are you? Are you seeing sort of where you're at as a person physically in terms of fitness and health as it truly is? Because then, you know, you can't really go forward or backward or make sense of it unless, you know, you're kind of seeing that picture clearly.
Yeah. And I think that's part of what we're describing with this lifetime athlete model is we're not saying let's be lifetime athletes in terms of the model that puts fitness above health. We want both. And so that's where our challenge comes in, to be artful and creative. But it's fairly obvious to me, if you're unfit, you just can't participate in life to the fullest extent, whatever that is. You know, you're not able to Again, I like that example, play with the grandkids a lot, because that's such an important athletic accomplishment that we all need to be able to do. And if you're unhealthy, you know, you're just headed more rapidly towards illness and disease, and spending most of your time putting patches on a fire hydrant, dealing with the medical system. So one leads to the other, and it's not pretty, but it's important to, you know, get this message out. If we do simple things, you know, we can have both, and that's where we're going in the end of this discussion.
I love it. We'll keep it going.
Well, it's story time.
Well, good timing. Oh, I'm all
yeah. Drinking a little coffee today. So I've been asked this, and I ask myself, you know, sometimes out on my walks, I'll say, well, how did I start to really appreciate this relationship, you know, of health and fitness, and to get on this healthy lifetime athlete for everyone mission. And and so it kind of, here's my story, you know. So after working with and continuing to do so thousands of people over 3 decades, I started to appreciate the need for both health and fitness to be present at high levels. And they really, it became clear to me, they're essentially interdependent. And so always the best people, the highest performers and the people who healed the best from injury had the best outcomes, but also seemed to be doing the best in all parts of their life were those people who were both healthy and fit, not just one or the other. And I was like, oh, okay. And so that's, again, a much wonderful learning and inspiration from others. But as a physical therapist, you know, I had this license to touch. And so I learned a lot from people just by how their tissues felt.
So you're saying literally how someone's tissues felt, you could get a feel, you could get an idea of their health and fitness?
Yeah. And so, you know, we use terms like clinically, like, oh, we're going to palpate or manipulate or assess, but really, I mean, we all do this in our lives. You see someone, you shake their hand, you give somebody a hug. So, I mean, we all are getting, you know, touch feedback from other humans. Well, and also, if you ask any practitioner, particularly one who does a lot of hands-on work with patients or clients, if you touch a fit and healthy athlete, so in other words, that's the person who's got fitness and health at any age or gender, you know, we can, you know, make slight adjustments for that, but in reality, the fit and healthy person, you know how that feels. And this is probably the take home pearl of today's talk. When you know, touch someone's arm, let's say, or maybe you move it or do whatever, well, it's got these characteristics. It feels solid, dense. It's relatively heavy given the size of it, and it feels sturdy. Of course, biochemically, there's a term we have for that. It's called turgor or turgidity. The cells are full.
Turgidity. The cells are full with what? Muscle? Just, well, what's that density represent?
Actually, the body is full of everything. You know, it's full of water and you know, the nutrients, and so all the everything is like summertime, it's blossoming and growing and, you know, it's
bountiful. Yeah,
very true, you know, and so we have that. And then when, if you hug someone, or again, you work in some clinical capacity, that healthy, fit, athletic person has a feel that's elastic. It's vital. It's springy. And you can just push on their, you know, their body somewhere. And that's the sensation that comes back. It's the feedback that you get. And of course, we're trained to, you know, assess and analyze that, but they feel, here's the big word, alive.
I love the description there. That's so, I guess it's really vibrant. The description, it comes to life when you're talking about that. Let's look on the other side of that. You know, again, without judgment, talk to me about someone who's unfilled and unhealthy.
Okay, so now you have this person who's unfit and unhealthy, and, you know, whether that's, like, say, in some clinical capacity where they're just barely walking into the clinic, or unfortunately they're on their deathbed, you know, and I've done a little bit of that too, that individual has a totally different feel. So, you know, again, I think we've all done this, you know, with our relatives or family members, and, you know, as we go through the life journey. But, you know, someone who is, if we use the deathbed example, I think that's a powerful way, and then we'll pull it back. The body feels hollow, fragile, And it very delicate. And biochemically, we have the opposite of turgidity. We have flaccidity. So the body is flaccid, and the cells are empty.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. I'm presuming this is not just like, like a slight person, but this could be a person who's, like a large human. So they're taking up space, but still they're not, I guess they don't have the turgidity that you just mentioned. There must be a lot of, there's a lack of bountifulness on the cellular level then.
Yeah. So yes, a person can be obese and certainly have all those characteristics. They don't have to be a cachexic, or in other words, in a wasted state. And also we all would recognize that the body that's not healthy feels, and not fit, feels brittle, mushy, thin skinned, lifeless.
Jeez. That's really descriptive terminology. So what conclusion did you reach after seeing thousands of these, different types of folks?
Yeah, the problem I saw was that a lot of people way too early in life are too close to that second scenario. They're almost walking, talking corpses. It's not a pretty sight. And I'm not talking about octogenarians here. I've seen it in teenagers and up.
That's really scary. I mean, it's not a leap. I'm not surprised to hear you describe the state of affairs like that. In fact, just sort of, seeing the world at large, that aligns with what I have seen, but had not had the terminology or the knowledge to describe. What else are you seeing? That's obviously a pretty heavy subject. So, you have knowledge. What did that produce in you?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, motivation, compassion, all those kinds of things. Sure. Gosh, we've got this problem. We need to address it. And there's tons of statistics out there. When you look at the effects of an inactive lifestyle, a junk food diet. I mean, these are really the big drivers of what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about this before on the show, but I was impacted so heavily by just visiting with people and interacting with them on a personal level that many times they're motivated and they don't want to be, they don't want to feel crappy. Nobody deserves that. But, they oftentimes there's that gap, they have to understand, these are the things we need to do and here's how we do it. And we have to be somewhat consistent in these behaviors, again, like with food and movement. And so that really, it impacted me and what it kind of why I'm here today is because, as I had alluded to earlier, the results were always happening with the people who were healthy and fit. So, if you, and we know this from like the surgical community as well, if a person is overweight, diabetic smoker, a lot of times they won't even do surgery on them because they know that the outcomes are so poor, they're not going to heal, don't have the healing capacity. But that's kind of what I saw, is like a person might have a goal to do something in an athletic realm, but if their rest of their, life and health factors weren't good, they never could quite break through. Or again, the people with injuries, you want to help everyone, but it doesn't matter how good of a clinician you are or what kind of rehab protocol you're going to utilize. If a person doesn't have good health, they really can't escalate their recovery or their fitness.
Yeah, that seems really accurate. I think that not only in what I see, but I've experienced in my own person throughout the course of my life. So we'll keep it going. I'm listening right now.
Yeah. So, and again, emotional message to some extent for me, of course, because I care so much, but we're going to end this thing on a positive. I've just got a bit more to say about this fitness and health dilemma. And so over all those years, all those coaching and consulting capacities, and even to this day, I don't think I started out this way, but I finally learned to really appreciate the person across from me when we interacted. And so I have this set of standards that I try to hold myself to: observe and listen a lot, ask some, and tell very little, making sure that when I finally had something to offer, it was meaningful and useful and appropriate for that person. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, kind of that's what I'm doing and trying to do. And so I just would notice as I'm there interacting, the fit and healthy people always had the best posture, the highest self-esteem, the clearest, brightest eyes, and the best complexions. And I'm like, oh gosh, wow, this is not coincidental. And, you know, and the worst of the group, you know, again, because of lacking in those areas, drooping eyelids, jaws, puffy faces full of information, sallow expressions, suboptimal posture, all, you know, all that. And it was almost classifiable, you know, as I was seeing it. And so I'm fully aware that everyone's situation and station in life is unique, and we want to be respectful always. Stress and pain can change an appearance. But I'm here to tell you that all this is way, way, way more related than many people think. You know, if you want to fix anything or achieve anything, really, you just get into a basic health and fitness.
It's really interesting. I think that connecting all the three of the last statements that you made, like, for example, the best complexions, we may think that that is something where you want to change your beauty regimen or what sort of products. And you're saying it's all interconnected. And the most vibrant humans have the most holistically, I guess, healthy approaches. And the opposite is also true. So we're going to, I mean, that's heavy stuff, John. And I think that for me, as just a listener and a learner here, it could be pretty heavy. If you just left me with that, I might be like, what am I going to do? So I'm assuming you're going to turn the corner, take it home, and talk about what we can do if that message that you just shared impacted us. And we want to make some changes, or we want to at least learn some about what we might do.
There is hope, and back to like the best of both worlds. Honey, I know what it's worth. And so I do know what it's worth because I've seen it in thousands of people, and I love mm-hmm. it when I see people, you know, being healthy, happy, successful, fit, strong, and long living. And that's what we're here for. So, okay, the message to get fit, we'll just tackle that one first. You know, fitness is really a simple recipe. We need all of our lifestyle support, but you have to move a fair amount. And so what that means in our model here is plenty of daily activity, maybe at least an hour, you know, at least maybe more if you can get it in, random things and chores, and then be smart about your exercise and training. And so that's where we, you know, won't get real deep here, but we just go into those things like, well, how much aerobic exercise and resistance training and intensity work and mobility work does a person need? It does vary, and certainly there's some crossover. Yeah, but if you do, you know, what amounts to about 10 hours a week, so that's 7 hours of activity, 1 hour per day, and then about 3 hours total of exercise could be broken up, for example, 6 30-minute sessions, just saying that, you can get all the benefits. And now, obviously, athletes go beyond that minimum effective dosage to the maximum absorbable dosage sometimes. Got to be careful. That's why we don't impair health, because we're aware of that. But anyway, that's really all you got to do. It's a simple recipe, and it's based in a real standard moving and exercising patterns,
and very achievable. It's just right there. I think that I think even to maybe break those numbers down a little bit, if you're moving throughout your day and you're getting that GDA, that's just spread over the course of the week, 3 hours of exercise of varying different types. So that's achievable. What about to get healthy, John?
Well, that's when we get into those things that I think we all know intrinsically. Mm-hmm. We want to eat well. And, you know, what does that mean? Well, might mean different things for different people, again, based on genetics or activity and lifestyle. But nonetheless, we know we don't want to eat things that are bad for us or do things to us. We want to eat things that are good for us and do things for us. Mm-hmm. So enough said. And then obviously we really want to maximize both the quality and quantity of our sleep. You know, that's when all the R words happen, you know, rest, rejuvenate, recover, regenerate. I could probably think of some more, but you know, we want that. And then ultimately, you know, you just start looking at this, whether it's a popular acute term or not, just being mindful about all the things in your life that can affect you, like your relationships, your job, your personal environment, your character traits. The more we're aware of those things, you know, how we fit in the world, how we work best, it just makes it easy to stay healthy.
And I think that, you know, those are, that makes sense as well. I think though that I want to try and, but what I'm sensing is that if you want to get there, improve your health and your fitness, it's right. It's very possible. I think that what you're picture painting for me is that it shouldn't be this daunting task. It's achievable and you can get there. And I'm assuming that, you know, you can make a turnaround and that the robust fit beast that we all are, it's just very possible to get there.
Oh yeah. You're programmed to auto-regulate. We all are. And so once you remove the obstacles, it takes very little of the correct stimuli to start seeing change. And so again, unless a person has extremely high performance goals, we can get, you know, health turned around and fitness coming up in weeks to months, depending on the individual. So that's always good news. And so here's another pearl. There was some pearl I thought before, I forgot what it was, but there's another one. This might be even the biggest pearl is we have to build better tissues. And so all of those things like getting that movement and the sleep and the food. Yeah, that's, you know, nourishing the body, nourishing it with movement, nourishing it with food, et cetera. But this is my message, health is health. And so, you know, you can't be, oh, I'm healthy pretty much everywhere, except I've got like I've got this achy thing, and then I've got a problem with one of my organs. No, if you have those things happening, that means that something's wrong in your body and you don't have health. So first of all, health has to be global. I want to get that out there. And all the training and lifestyle stuff I just said will take off when you build these better tissues or feed your tissues.
Talk to me about that, because you're talking like on a biology level, tissues.
Yeah, so I've been talking about biology, biochemistry, philosophy. Yeah. Woo! So
but right here specifically, you're talking about biochemical, like physiological tissues.
Yeah, and so we have some great information to share with everyone. And this is high school biology. We're going to remember this. Almost all of our body tissues contain collagen. And so, you know, we make our collagen to make our tissues, you know, in our body, largely from the amino acid glycine, among mm-hmm. others. And we use a very small amount of vitamin C as a catalyst in that reaction. And so if your skin, your hair, your nails, your teeth aren't quite right, well, guess what? Neither is your liver, your heart, your gut, or your bones. That's the take home message. Maybe it's a wake up call, because tissue is tissue and health is health. And I know that sounds like Forrest Gump, but that's a point. You know, if something's not right, that means your body's not healthy and it's probably not building tissue properly. So we have all these statistics these days to say the modern American just doesn't eat enough collagen. So that's where I'm kind of coming back to, you know, that's not going to solve every problem, but I think a lot of people listening are possibly collagen deficient. And so where do you get it? Well, you can take collagen peptide supplements if you want them via pill, or you want to have a powder that you mix in shakes. I view both those things as sort of supplemental to real food. And so if you eat tough cuts of meat and you slow cook them, you have bone broth, or even use gelatin, that's where the collagen is. And so, you know, doing that can help you to build better tissues and just have a healthier, glowing, vibrant body. And the amount of vitamin C you need to go along with that is not that high. So, there's even good research to show that fresh meat contains vitamin C. And so, all you carnivores out there, most of them, you're probably going to be fine, not consuming a lot of plant matter if that's what you care to do. Everyone should do what they want. My personal journey is I do a little bit of plants, not too much, but nonetheless, hey, let's get that collagen in and build better tissue. It'll help our posture, our skin, our teeth, our bones, our ability to recover from exercise. It's amazing.
It really, that I like that. So even though it could be a wake up call, it's also a holistic recipe to improve, to level up in all areas.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, I'm a bone broth maker. You know, this is the season, you know, I gotta start making more batches of bone broth. You can buy it too, but it's really just a great product, I think, to make sure that we don't evolve out of our human diet, because we'll suffer for that. And so, hey, you know, take your fitness and health seriously, folks, but also have fun doing it, and sing a little bit, and get the best of both worlds.
I love it. I love it. John, I learned a lot today.
I do too, you know, because sharing this, you know, I think, you know, who's one of the brain guys, Jim Quick, he says, you know, if you teach something, you get to learn it twice. And so thank you for that, audience and PK. And so this is also a chance for big shout out time. I want to offer congratulations to one of our lifetime athletes. Emma Hines. Emma Hines is a high school volleyball player from over here in Manhattan, Montana, Manhattan Christian High School. And just 2 days ago, on Saturday, November 16th, she became a state champion.
Yes. This is kind of an exciting success story for her personally, contributing to her team success.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, many congrats to Emma and her team. They cinched the Montana Class C title, took home the trophy. And so we salute you, Emma, and your teammates. And, you know, all that vertical jump and athletic durability training that we did paid off.
Amazing. And before we sign off for the day, we just want to say, if you like what you're hearing, please rate, review, share, subscribe on whatever service you get your podcasts. 5 stars, we appreciate it. Also, if anyone is listening today and they want to explore a coaching relationship with you, Jay-Z, how can they do it?
So simply, just check out thelifetimeathlete.com, click on coaching, and let's do it.
Nice. Adios, everyone.
Peace.